Charles Spurgeon once said, "Be not afraid of saying too much in the praises of God. All the danger is of saying too little." As we've seen over the last 2 weeks in my sermons on Psalm 147, the psalmist was clearly in no danger of praising God too little. He provided plenty of reasons for himself and the people of God to praise the Lord. And we've considered 5 of those reasons in verses 1 through 11. Now, we saw from verses 2 through 6 that you as the people of God can praise Him because He restores the brokenhearted. And He knows His creation intimately, including you. And He is one who sustains the humble. Then last week from verses 7 through 11, we were reminded that God provides for all of His creatures and that He delights in you who trust in the Lord. Further reason for why I should praise God throughout all our days. Well, this morning from verses 12 through 20, there are 3 more reasons given. And so I ask you to give attention to the living Word of God as I read Psalm 147, 12 through 20. "Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends His command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down His hail like pebbles. Who can withstand His icy blast? He sends His word and melts them. He stirs up His breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed His word to Jacob, His laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know His laws." Praise the Lord. So the first of the 3 final reasons in this text as to why you as members of the Church of Jesus Christ ought to exclaim hallelujah is due to the generosity of God towards His people. He was generous, as we see in the text, to His Old Covenant people. They had been in exile for some 70 years in Babylon. And as we saw in verse 2, God brought them back. He restored them. And then under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah, they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the walls. And here in verse 12, the psalmist reminds them of just how generous God had been to them. What does he say? Well, He provided security for them by strengthening the bars of their gates, which was a blessing, obviously, to those who lived within the city. It was important to have walls that were fortified surrounding the city and the gates well fortified so that the enemy couldn't get in. So security was provided by God ultimately. God also provided peace within the borders of the city. The people were getting along. There was harmony. And that was a blessing of God. And as we saw several weeks ago from Psalm 133, we're to celebrate unity, celebrate harmony within the people of God, within the church. And then the psalmist reminds them that God prospered His people, prospered them with the finest of wheat. In other words, they had plenty of good food to eat to sustain them. So with such blessing from God, the exiles who had returned home by the grace of God had good reason, plenty of reason to praise God. And so do you as the new covenant people of God. You have been united to Jesus Christ. You've become members of the body of Christ. And you are living stones, as Peter says, of the new covenant temple, in which you are eternally secure. There's going to be no changing of that. You will always be, because of the grace of God, members of Christ's body. Living stones in His temple, where you can gather like we are this morning to praise our God. God has blessed you by lavishing you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, according to Ephesians chapter 1. You were elected by God to be a part of His people before the foundation of the world. And then God sent His one and only Son to become a human being so that He could live and die for you, so that you could experience the forgiveness of sins. And God has blessed you with the sealing of the Holy Spirit, which has made you a part of His body and guaranteed you an inheritance in the city of God yet to come.
Amen.
And it's coming. And He is reserving your inheritance and preserving you so that you receive that inheritance someday in the eternal city of God. In addition to that, you know, you can enjoy and have enjoyed working together in harmony with the people of God here and in other situations and in other churches with other believers. And of course, if you spend time looking at your own life, you realize that God has generously provided for you physically, and He has generously provided for you spiritually, as I've just said from Ephesians 1, but also from 2 Peter chapter 1, in that in the Scriptures, you have everything that you need for life and for godliness. So in light of God's generosity, and I've only scratched the surface this morning, you have good reason to be a grateful people and to praise God. But there's more. In addition to God's generosity in Christ, you can praise God because of God's word of providence. God's word of providence, which is spoken of in verses 15 through 18. You see, after God created the world, He didn't take a hike and just sort of leave the world to run on its own. No, God is very much involved in the everyday affairs of the world. God is personally and powerfully present and active, controlling all that He has planned before the creation of the world. And the psalmist points to one of those areas in which God is providentially active, and that's in the weather and in the changing of the seasons. The psalmist says that He sends His command to the earth, and the word runs swiftly. And then what happens? Well, by His word, the season of winter begins. The frost covers the ground. Sometime later, the snow begins to fall and it blankets the earth. And at times, He hurls His hail like pebbles to the earth. And in some places, not so much in South Carolina, once in a while, it gets so cold that you stay inside. You can't withstand His icy blast. Now, where I grew up, you know, that really connected. I grew up in Maine, and it could get very, very cold there. Sometimes it got so cold that, you know, we had to plug our cars in so that they'd start the next morning. I remember one time I was a kind friend, and I went over to my friend's house for the night so that I could get up and help him at 4 o'clock in the morning to pass out newspapers. And it was one of those times, it was in January, and we had an Arctic blast come in. His icy blast was blowing that day, that morning. And I didn't come prepared. I sort of had forgotten. And he says, "Bill, wake up. We've got to go pass out papers." I go, "Oh, are you kidding?" I didn't bring any boots. I didn't have my long johns. Needed that. So I put on a pair of boots from his dad, which were two sizes too small. And got my coat on and went out. And it was the longest, I don't know, it seemed like hours, but the longest hour of my life. And every time I think of cold weather like that, I think of that. Well, that cold Arctic blast, according to the psalmist, comes from God in heaven. And then by the very same word from God, His command, He commands the winter to go. You're done. and the spring sets in. And the warm breezes blow, and the snow and the ice melt and flows into the creeks and the streams. That all comes from God. You know, when you are out there in the weather every day, seeing the changes in the seasons, as people who believe in a provident God, a God who is intimately present and active in His world, causing things to happen, you ought to be thinking, oh, God's at work today. It's cold. That's from Him. It's raining. It's probably going to rain this afternoon. Thinking the right way, you ought to be thinking, that's coming from God. And when the sun comes out in a couple days, God's at work. He's brought out the sun today. Now, you can explain all that, obviously, according to secondary causes of, you know, natural forces and laws. But what God teaches in Scripture is that He causes all these things to happen ultimately. None of these natural laws and forces work without Him. He is always working in and through them to accomplish what He planned before the foundation of the world. And that's true not just of the weather and the changing of the seasons, but it's also true in your life. God is one who is active, powerfully present and working in every one of your lives. He did that this morning. The reason why you're here and breathing in your right mind, most of you, is because of God, because of His providence. It's because of His providential word that you were born, when and where that you, where you were. Every step that you've taken to this very moment is because of the providential word of God ordering your steps. He's present with you at this very moment. Will be when you leave here today and go do whatever you're going to do. He is present every waking moment of your life. And His daily working and moving in your life and mine, He is always at work governing the circumstances that you encounter, working them all together for your good and His glory. As one author says, God is the great person who is personally living and acting in the same world that you act and live in, making things happen in concert with His divine plan. He's always behind the scenes working. And it's important that you remember that. You know that God, believer. You have a personal relationship with that God. And because of His providential word that governs the seasons and the weather and your very life, you have good reason this morning to sing hallelujah and praise God. He is for you, always working for you, not against you, ever seeking to shape and mold you into the likeness of His Son in preparation of the return of Jesus Christ from the heavens. And now the final reason given in our passage that you as God's people can praise the Lord is because of God's word of revelation. You see, God is not only personally present behind the scenes, directing the weather and changing the seasons, directing your lives by His word of providence, but He has also given you, as His people, His word of revelation, the Scriptures. It says here in the, regarding the Old Covenant people that He had given them, He had revealed His law and His decrees to them, the Torah, God's instructions. And of course, today we have a complete revelation, Old and New Testament, all coming from God, handed down to you. And these instructions from God, according to Psalm 119, are a lamp for your feet and a light for your path, which means that through His written revelation, we have right here, that God guides you through that word so that you can know how to live in His world. You know, David wrote a lot about that in Psalm 119. And you read that psalm and you see a man who loves God's word. He is passionate about it and he is thankful that he has God's instructions so that he can make his way through the dark world in which he lived as a king and as a follower of God. Well, we have even more than he had. And everything is contained there to help guide you in this world as you make the decisions that you have to make, as you seek to raise your children, as you seek to conduct yourself at work in a manner that pleases God, as you seek to try to be wise in all the kinds of decisions that you make, you have the all-sufficient Word of God providing that guidance for you. It's available. It's there. And He's provided His Spirit to illuminate that Word to your understanding so that you can understand it and then apply it in your daily life. Now, just think about where you would be without His word of revelation. Today, you would be lost without it. There's no other way to know the gospel than through God's divine instructions. No other way. So because of the scriptures which God gave you as a church and as individual members of the church, you were able to find your way. God was able to lead you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You heard about the fact that Jesus lived and died for you so that you could be forgiven and declared right with God. And as I said a moment ago, upon being a Christian, you have the scriptures which lead you and guide you in this world. And because of the scriptures and God's guidance, you know where you're headed. You're not, you know, wondering, now what's next? You know that someday the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return from the heavens. And He's going to make things right at His judgment. And then you and all of God's people will go with Jesus Christ to live with Him forevermore in a new heavens and a new earth. You know that because of God's divine revelation in the scriptures. You wouldn't know it any other way. That's a grand reason for you to be a grateful people and to praise the Lord. And all the more when you realize that you are privileged to know that. Notice what the psalmist says about the Old Testament people of God. They were God's chosen people. And because of that, they received His laws and His decrees, His instruction, His revelation, which no other nation had. Now, it wasn't meant to stay there. They were to be a light to the nations, and they failed miserably. But God kept moving, and He had a plan, and He brought His Son into the world. And because of that, you have this. God inspired the apostles, and they wrote the New Testament. And today, you have the Old and New Testaments that have been handed down to you. And that belongs, the Word of God belongs to you, the Church of Jesus Christ. You are privileged. Now, once again, it's not meant to hoard. There is light here that people in the dark world in which you live need to have. So it's meant to be spread. And if you're grateful for the heart of God's message, His revelation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we will proclaim it as His heralds in this dark world. People of God, how privileged you are to have the Word of God, which provides such wonderful guidance for you. Surely, surely, you can exclaim hallelujah for that blessing, as well as all the other blessings mentioned here in Psalm 147. praising and thanking God is a really good thing. I want to urge you to do a lot of it. It's certainly better than complaining. I mean, in this fallen world, you know, it doesn't take long to find something over which you can complain. But where sin abounds, grace far more abounds. And because of that, there is so much that you can be thankful for. So don't be afraid of saying too much in the praises of God. All the danger is of saying too little. And God's people said,
Amen.
And hallelujah. Let's pray.